that it sounds like a donkey just being surprised in space.
Yeah, who knew? Gamers like
the Scarab Gaming Convention.
Scarab is the South Carolina Anime Role-Playing and Board Gaming Convention in Columbia, South Carolina. In addition to the annual convention, the members of Scarab, also known as the Scarab Swarm, travel to retailers, conventions, and meetups to demo a variety of games. In this podcast, we highlight topics such as gaming, conventions, the people behind it all, and more. I'm your host, John Manus, and this is the Swarmcast. Well, hello and welcome to episode 12 of the Scarab Swarmcast. I'm John Manus, your host. On this episode of the Scarab Swarmcast, we're going to be talking about, well, what else? Scarab, because Scarab 2014, that's right, Scarab number 4, has actually just ended. It ended about a couple weeks ago by the time of this recording of this particular segment right here. And so I've got some audio clips from Scarab 2014. In addition to that, I've got some bonus material, things that I've recorded during the course of this year leading up to Scarab, and then I'll go ahead and throw that in as well. Because why not? There's some funny stuff. It's some outtakes. It's some stuff that rightfully didn't make it into the regular podcast, but there it is. And if you listen, if you stick around, at the very end of the podcast, I've got two stories that I've been sitting on for pretty much the whole year because I just didn't know where to put them. They're really colorful stories. One is from Brian Gambrell, who brought us that wonderful story about the Nun Grenade. You should check that out. I believe it's in episode 2. And one is a story from Del Collins about an experience he had at Gen Con. And if anybody knows Del Collins, you know that once he gets talking, you just never know what you're going to find out. I'll just leave it at that. Anyways, those two stories, we're going to call them the bonus material. It's going to be at the very end of the podcast. So I'll let you use your own discretion. You may or may not want to share that with younger audiences or with folks that you work with. If you do share the stuff that you work with. Or if you don't care, then, you know, good for you. Hooray! So let's get on into this, shall we? Let's get on into some news or something like that. And now, Scarab News! Well, the big news is that Scarab 4, Scarab 2014, is over. Hooray! We made it. All hail Scarab 5! Scarab 2015 will be January 16th through January 19th, 2015. But the Scarab momentum is not stopping right there. We're going to keep on going. We're going to all sorts of conventions. We've already got a few that are already lined up. Here's the convention calendar, as it were, so far. February 21st through February 23rd, the Swarm will be in Chattanooga. That's in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We'll be bringing a lot of Pathfinder Society games there. April 11th through 13th will be in Savannah, Georgia at GnomeCon, where we'll also be bringing a lot more Pathfinder Society. May 16th through the 18th, XCon World in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. We'll be having a good mix of games. May 30th through June 1st, Con Carolinas in Charlotte, North Carolina, where we'll also be bringing a mix of games. And of course, this is going to lead us into the road to Gen Con, August 14th through 17th in Indianapolis, Indiana, where I'm pretty sure we'll be working our butts off for Paizo at the Pathfinder Society rooms. If you're in any of these areas, you should come by and check us out. Play some games. Have some fun. And hey, if you have an event and you want Scarab at your event, just drop us a line. Make sure you give us at least 4 to 8 weeks head notice so we can make sure we get everything together and we can bring it as only we can bring it. Oh, so how do you contact us? You're probably asking that. Well, if you go to Scarab's website, that's www.scarab.com. There'll be a link somewhere on the website that you can go to actually fill out a little form and drop us a comment. So Scarab 4 was a lot of fun. There was a lot of people there having a lot of fun. But you know what? You don't have to take my word for it. No. Here's what I've got. I've got some clips from some people. Some people who came by to either see me or that I tracked down and kind of snuck up on them and surprise recorded them, as it were. Hear what these fine folks had to say about Scarab 2014.
Just wanted to let you know, Scarab was awesome again. I have a feeling it's going to be awesome again next year. Oh, by the way, John rules.
Thank you. See you next, well, at the very least, see you next year.
I'm going to try to see if I can make a firefly more
often. Geo tournament. Now I didn't kill anybody and still won the first game.
Yeah, say whatever you want to.
I got one of these dolls too.
Oh, me too.
Oh my god, that's adorable.
Is that what we all have?
Mine's right here. Sure.
I don't want to stay here.
Is that the only tournament you did?
I'm
excited.
You're not excited about anything?
No,
I'm excited about a lot.
Okay.
Okay,
that was fun.
That was it? Well, thank you for stopping. Bye. See, I won the con because I got to sleep a mythical Varrock, and I'm pretty sure there's not many people who've done that.
Wow.
Just saying.
How the heck did you do that?
It was in the special.
It was in the special.
Mid-tier, though. So if somebody defeated one of the demon lords, I think they...
Yeah, they did. Well, none of them, nobody played that high, so...
Oh.
Ours was one of the high groups.
You had a good time at the convention, then, I guess.
Absolutely. I have a good time everywhere.
That's true.
But cool. Sleeping with a river, that's like my, that is my high point in my, in all of my characters' lives. You just don't do that too often. It's not like, yeah, I'm gonna go out and find me a mythic rock and sleep it. Just cause.
Alright, so who are you and what sort of stuff have you been up to at Scarab?
Well, I'm Bill. I've been out here Friday night. Most of the day Saturday, most of the day Sunday, and well, this afternoon, because my daughter wants to make wire things.
Okay.
And I went through the I Drank What Grand Tournament, got the giant flask, which is nice.
Very cool.
Yes, didn't bring it with me today because I didn't want to carry it.
Right.
That'll be my Super Bowl flask.
That makes sense.
And then went through the Cheese Wedge on a whim on Saturday just because it looked fun, and then... Got finals for the tournament.
Getting some weird feedback, I'm not sure.
Got the end of the finals for the tournament on Sunday and won.
Very cool.
So that was nice.
I was actually wondering how the Cheese Wedge went. So you, what were you playing in the?
I had Gnomesy.
Gnomesy.
The 34 armor class, two-handed shield smash thing. Because the first few games I played on Saturday, I played a sorcerer and he was fun. I burned all the gnomes on fire, got the most damage achievement. And, well, the gnomes were all clustered together singing, and when you drop one fireball on 14 gnomes, there's a lot of damage.
Flaming gnomes everywhere.
I kept dying eventually because, as is classic for cheese, there's nobody wants to be a healer.
Right.
So sorcerers die. So I went over to Gnomesy figuring now will be good. And then the next two quests, one had a giant gazebo.
And the other classic one. Classic gazebo.
Yeah, the other one had the Hulk.
Hulk.
So two things that proceeded to kill me a lot. But it was fun. So I played through the tournament on the on Gnomesy.
Very
and
cool.
Ended up, we never really did figure out the room. We're recording. But we never did figure out the room for the cheese grinder. We just all got to the point where we started killing each other.
I think that's what usually ends up happening on those things.
Well, apparently that was the goal.
Oh.
We were supposed to kill some other things too, but eventually we were supposed to kill each other.
Because
Salazar was supposed to come out and say, well, you've defeated the monsters, now only one of you can leave. But after 3 hours, we just killed each other. And nobody could hit me, so.
Because you got the two shots.
No, because I had a 34 armor class.
Oh,
I mean,
right.
They'd have to roll
a
natural 20 and have a 14 to their... It just didn't work.
Wow.
But it's been fun. It's my first time out here, and you know.
I do like the king. See you when I see you.
Good to see you.
Y'all have a good
got one. Two different tournaments under my belt. Mm.
Well, very cool. Most times you might get like one, maybe, at a convention. But you got two of them this
year.
Yeah.
So.
The big honkin' flask. And
yes, the big honkin' flask, and I actually got from the Cheese Wedge, I got the core rule book and some other stuff, which is cool, because I'm still
cool.
Relatively new to Pathfinder, so I didn't have the rule book or anything yet.
Right.
I've played a few times, and it's fun. So.
I don't know why this thing keeps talking back to me.
I don't know. Is the mic on that on?
It's not supposed to be.
Kobolds are a problem.
Yeah, that's gotta be worse. The kobold stands you close to the mic. Did you get to play any?
I did not.
Kobolds at my baby.
I wanted to, but I did not get to play. There's a table in there that says needs three or more players, but there's no game and there's no people, so I'm not sure. Apparently, it's gonna need more than three or more players because it'll need the game.
He's a GM. And
but I wanted to. My buddy who came out played it, and it looked like fun. But I sat at the I drank what. Tournament for like 10 games before I won this. I won this on the Sunday morning Last Chance Saloon.
And I've played like, well, this is the first year I haven't played I Drink What in the tournament, but every year at Scarab, I've played it and I've never won any.
I didn't win until my daughter died first, because, you know, I brought her with me and she likes the game and she would purposely make sure I didn't last long. I was a target. So I got lucky in this last one. She died early.
Uh-huh.
And then I won. So I told her, I said, you're my good luck charm if you stay away from the table.
Well, cool. Well, congratulations on winning.
Thank you.
Everything at Scare.
I'm sure there were other prizes somewhere.
Yeah. You won the most prestigious one. The one everybody wants is that huge flying disc.
Yes.
They want, well, little ones, but they really want one of the big ones.
I'll bring it with me next year when I'm here.
Definitely. So you can gloat.
Fill it up at the water fountain, drink it all day.
There you go.
Do you want to say something about Scarab?
Sure. I'm Andrew Crane, and I had an awesome time. I had a blast like I do every year. I'm looking forward already to next year. Can't wait to come.
Cool.
Cool.
All right. Well, look forward to seeing you next year, Andrew.
All right. I'll look forward to seeing this on Facebook. Number 16.
So I'm sneaking into the Cheese Wedge room, and these are some actual sounds of Tobes running the Cheese Wedge. Let's listen.
All right, so I'm here with, well, why don't you tell me who you are?
My name's Alicia Callahan, and I'm we're winding down at Scarab this year and trying to have big hopes for next year for Scarab and trying to recruit as many gamers out there as possible.
Okay, well, why don't you tell me about some of the things you've done at Scarab or and such?
Oh, this weekend was so much fun. We started off by just board gaming freely with my family, my husband, and my niece, and my father-in-law, and we entered a lot of board gaming tournaments, in which case turned around and we won a bunch of games on the board gaming tournament ticket polls.
Very cool.
Also, I was part of the costume contest. It was a lot of fun. Harley Quinn won, popular contest, so it was a lot of fun dressing up. And this was the first year that they did the costume contest.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I saw the pictures of your costume at the very least, and I know those pictures are out there in Facebook land, as it were.
Yeah, I think they're going to post them on the Scarab page as well.
So. Yes, that is the plan.
So, anybody out there listening, if they're interested in coming to Scarab next year, there's a little known secret that there are some eternal members out there that have special powers, as it were, to get new people signed up who want to register for Scarab next year at a discounted price. So instead of the $50? I believe it's $40.
That is correct. That is correct.
Absolutely. And the way that works, correct me if I'm wrong, is they sign up through us. They give us the money. We, in turn, pay their membership fees.
Correct.
And then they are registered under Eternal members' names.
Right. That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. So in order to contact me, my name is, again, Alicia Callahan. If anybody's interested, my email address is peecefrg@hotmail.com. And that's a good way of getting in contact with me to go forward.
to register for at a discounted price through an Eternal member.
Yes.
And such. Cool. Well, thank you very much. Was there anything else you wanted to say? Sound like you pretty much said what you wanted.
Yeah, just if you want to have a good time and game, there's not a better class of people running the Scarab Convention. Very family friendly area. If you're parents, you know, and you're not really sure if it's for kids or not, there's a bunch of kid game stuff going on, and very kid friendly, family friendly environment.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so I was just handed some paper over the internet. This a message from Calvin Korn. He says, "Hey, I'm an Eternal member. You should contact me. I'm much cooler." Blah, blah, blah. There's some other stuff here about PFS sleeping a epic Vrock or something like that. I don't know. If you want to, you can contact Calvin. Find him on Facebook or at Firefly. He says he lives there sometimes. I don't know what that's about. But yeah, find an Eternal member and register. You get a slightly discounted rate. That's pretty cool, right? Everyone likes a discount. Anyway, that was just some of the people who wanted to talk to me at Scarab 2014. They had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun. Hey, you know who else could have had a lot of fun? You, if you had gone. You know who I'm talking to. I'm pointing right at you. Yeah. So over the year of making this podcast, I've recorded quite a bit of stuff, and not all of it made it into the actual podcast that you guys have been able to hear online. So I've got what I'm going to call just some bonus material. Some of it, some outtakes. Some of it probably should have just been left on the cutting room floor, as it were. But I think some of it's pretty funny. Some of it's pretty interesting. So I can't think of a better way to start this off than with a PSA from our friend Miles Schultz.
Just a little PSA. Remember, folks, stupidity is a force of nature, kind of like radiation. It can be used for good or evil, and you definitely don't want to get any on you.
That, it sounds like a donkey just being surprised in space.
So we've had a lot of other funny stories that I can't really recall at this point. I think, did Brian tell the one about this his troll in Earththaw?
No.
Oh, okay, cool. I won't tell that one too, because that's funny. It's a short story. Don't worry. We're playing Earththaw, and everybody in Earththaw has to have an artisan skill where they can show that they are free from the taint of these demonic creatures that roam the land called the Horrors.
He said taint.
I did. Phrasing. Right?
He did say taint. You know what that means? No. Oh. That's going to be the...
the word of the day!
That's the catchword on this podcast is taint.
Taint.
Every time he says taint.
Taint, you know what you got to do.
Woo! Yeah. All right. So sure. You have to, it's a cool way to shiver and crawl into a corner.
Go wash your hands.
Go wash your hands a lot. Say happy birthday twice while you're washing your hands. Now, he was playing, Brian Gambrell was playing a large troll, and his artisan skill was tattooing. So he would tattoo anybody that wanted a tattoo. And we had somebody that was playing an elven archer. His name was Mist. It was played by Tug Bryce, who is probably out there in podcast land somewhere.
I think he's in Illinois now.
He's somewhere. He's out and about. He's on Facebook. And Tug Bryce was playing an elven archer who was bristling with weapons. And at one point, Tug decided to become to get balls enough to be able to challenge Brian's character to drinking contest. Now, normally, anybody that knows between elves and trolls, it's you would think even nobody that knows gaming, trolls are got to be pretty tough, and elves are
right.
kind of not really strong. So drinking probably wouldn't be their strong point. But of course, Cull accepted, and the stakes were drawn up. And I forget what Tug even said he would give him at this point, but Cull said that Cull figured out that he'd be able to completely drink him under the table. And indeed, he did. After maybe three or four rounds of making toughness checks, yes, the young elf was laid out under the table. So Cull proceeded to make sure that Mist would never forget this incident, and in front of the entire bar, proceeded to tattoo a caricature of himself on the left or right, I forget which side, one of the buttocks cheeks of Mist. So it was a permanent picture of Cull, with a thumbs up and like how many drinks he had had, like there's mugs like right there. It was a great kind of moment because I had him really describe it. And Brian is not an artistic guy. I don't think he can draw very well, but I had him describe it in detail about what the tattoo would look like. So it always became a contention sort and a source for a story between the characters too. So I guess I felt it brought them closer together. It slowly drove them apart. But I don't think that's ever happened in a game that I've ever run before where somebody got to tattoo somebody else's face on another character's butt legitimately and without like penalty. It's like, oh, dude, you did it to yourself. You challenged the troll to a tricky contest. So.
Wow. Alright.
Yeah. Wow. I have no more funny stories that I can recite here.
Yeah, they'll all be censored and it'd be like, oh, beep, beep.
I do have a reputation, you know.
Yeah.
So hey, who are you and what are you playing?
I'm Matthew, and I'm playing Crazy Romanian Cowboys.
Really? So what's this Crazy Romanian Cowboys thing?
Well, you see, you have one GM Game Master dude, and you have three people. One person plays a Romanian, the other person plays a cowboy, and the third person plays the crazy.
Oh, okay.
And it's up to the Romanian and the cowboy to catch the crazy, but the crazy and the cowboy are also trying to work together to get the Romanians, because the Romanians are evil.
Okay, that's what I hear. It's like that in real life, too.
Exactly.
Except that sounds very meta.
With dice.
Okay, and why should somebody play this game?
If you do look up there before you order,
because it's lots of fun, and you'll get your head massaged if you do it.
That's all.
All right, so it's Crazy Romanian Cowboys.
Yeah, because otherwise it was like,
Crazy Romanian Cowboys.
Okay, right. Well, thanks.
Oh, look, I failed the invul save, now it bounces.
Three more. Gotcha.
All right, yeah, and you mentioned those dice. It's like every convention now is trying to have their own dice for their convention, is what I keep seeing.
everyone's got their own dice, but we've got our own color.
Yeah, that's true.
So we've got our own color. Everyone else can have their own dice, but we've got our Scarab Blue. That is our color, yeah. Baby. So, yeah.
I'm not trying to say that, yeah.
Well, you know,
nobody had dice before Scarab.
That's true. But I don't know.
Remembers the Scarab dice.
You know, we got the idea from Gen Con, and what's funny was that's where we got the idea. And Gen Con required 10,000 units.
Oh wow!
Gen Con wasn't Chessex that made the Gen Con dice in 2009. It was, I can't remember the name of the company, but they're not a sponsor, so I don't care. So, but that company had to provide Gen Con with 10,000 units. So we thought, man, 10,000 dice, that can't be cheap. And so we called Chessex, and they're like, oh, yeah, 10,000 dice, no problem. Like, yeah, we can't afford that. We're getting started here, so what can you do for us? And they made us a phenomenal deal on dice, and so we love handing them out. And then the fact that the 2011 dice rolled all Scarabs, and then end up getting banned at certain events, you know, that run Games Workshop games. That look at all those sixes. Yeah, we banned those. So that they end up getting banned.
Yeah, all of our Warhammer and 40K friends keep telling us about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I can't bring those dice with me to the tournaments anymore.
Everyone rolls all Scarabs with them. In the last post I saw on Facebook before I went into tax season this past weekend was someone had lost their dice bag.
Oh.
So he lost his dice. And that's horrible as a gamer. You know, that's like, you know, your book's getting set on fire. Your game, losing your games is horrible. It's probably horrible. The worst thing. But the next worst thing to losing your games is losing your actual your dice, which you've probably had since you're a child, right? So someone lost their dice, and I made comment, you know, the 2014 dice have been ordered, and so after the owners get theirs, that I will set aside him the first pair of 2014 dice, and you know he was so thankful that I told him, you know, I'll give you a big die 20, and I can hook you up with that. That's about all I can do to help you. Huh. So he was tickled pink, and I told him I might even be able to scrounge up some of the old 2012 and 2013 ones that he's lost.
Yeah. I think I got a few extra those illegals.
The 2011s, yeah. Yeah.
But, you know.
Nom, nom, nom. The sounds of Alicia eating.
Nom, nom, nom. Leave me alone.
You've never heard how what John thinks of our neighbors, do you? About what they are?
I've heard some of them.
Just some of them. A few of them. John thinks that they're deep ones because they dry fish and stuff outside, so there's like this perpetual smell of fish. And they're always like talking. Besides, we have like 2 Asian families and 3-4 Indian families now.
So they're always speaking some language I don't understand.
Right. And me, they're very nice and cordial too, you know, and they say hi and, you know, whatever. John walks by, even if he's with me, as soon as I say hi or whatever, they just shut up and watch him go. It's just funny. John came up with one day that they're deep ones, so.
And for a while there, we'd always see,
different.
They'd have, the adults would have either, they would have babies with them one day, and the next day,
teenagers.
There'd be teenagers everywhere, but you'd never see any kind of transition. Like, what's going on with that?
Just go to a cocoon overnight and come back adults.
And they're always different. I'm serious. It's always different. I know it sounds wrong, but they're always different.
What, the children?
No, the people.
Everybody.
I'm not saying that they look people. Alike, but damn if they don't look alike. I can make out 2 of the old men, and the woman that lives over there, I swear she has a twin sister. I swear it. There's no way she can't have a twin sister when literally one day she is like full-blown pregnant, and the next day nothing. And then you see her full-blown pregnant again. She has to have a twin sister. She has to.
Or it just goes in with my deep ones there. Okay.
Yes, and I'm not.
And now, buzz.
Well, about the only real buzz I have this time is pre-reg. Pre-registration's open for Scarab 2015. Do it. Do it now. The other thing I want to say is that coming up after episode 12, we're in March, we are going to have the beginnings of a brand new season for the Scarab Swarmcast, and it's going to be all sorts of really interesting changes. There's going to be, I don't know, a few more cast members, a few more voices that you're going to be hearing on the Scarab Swarmcast. It should be exciting. There's going to be all sorts of interesting things. We're going to try out some themes. Ooh, some themed episodes. That'll be pretty cool. But yeah, if you have any suggestions, any ideas, anything else you want to hear on the Scarab Swarmcast, please drop me a line either on Facebook or in the comments section if you go to the Podbean actual website here. Or you can email me at johnmanes, johnmanes at scarab.com. All right, so that's it for episode 11 of the Scarab Swarmcast. Gosh, hard to believe this on episode 11 already. And we say goodbye to this episode just like we say goodbye to Scarab 2014. That's Scarab number 4. Go on. You can go cry. I'll wait. All right, now that you get that out of your system, remember, Scarab 2015, Scarab 5 is coming up January 16th through the 19th. It's going to be all sorts of exciting, just like 14, only bigger and better. You've been hearing music by I Fight Dragons. You're going to be hearing some music by MC Lars in just a little bit. And, of course, Midnight Syndicate. You can check them out at mclarge.com, midnightsyndicate.com, and ifightdragons.com. Hey, that was awful nice of them to make their websites really easy to figure out. As a disclaimer, I put one at the beginning, I'm going to put one right here. There is some bonus material, a couple of bonus stories at the end of this podcast. So at the end of the MC Lars thing, there's going to be a little bit of a pause. And then I might throw some sort of noise in there or say something like, hey, here's the super secret bonus material.
The reason I bring this up is because this bonus material may contain some subject matter and some language that you probably don't want younger ears to hear, or you don't want to be playing too loud while you're at work, unless you work in one of those kind of places. But, you know, I'll let you guys be the judge of that. So until next time, until episode 12, this is John Manus. I'll talk to you guys later.
Shakespeare was dull. My girlfriend took her life, and I'm like, goodness gracious. Her brother wants to duel. Laertes is too pugnacious. My uncle dipped the tip of the saber in poison.
Duel time.
Poisoned the cup that my mom started enjoying.
Duel time.
I stabbed with a poison sword. Then I stabbed my girlfriend's brother. And then I stabbed my uncle, and we've all killed each other. To be or not to be, well, I guess that solves that one. And I would have stayed in Wittenberg if I'd known that this would happen. If you're ever up in Denmark on a moonlit night, you'll hear Ophelia's sad song when the full moon's bright. Baby, I'm sorry I messed up. Good night, my sweet princess. May flights of angels sing thee to thy rest. And they sing,
I've got nothing to do but hang around and guess who the song.
Forget it, go.
Warning, the following material that you're about to hear is both by Del Collins and told by Brian Gambrell. There may be some other people chiming in, I really don't know. That being said, You have been warned. And now, Scarab News. Well, Scarab continues its summer blockbuster tour of boobies. Yes, thank you for the boobies.
I have been waiting all night for you to start talking so I could do that. Another story is we were sitting in a Mexican restaurant and we were eating. It was all of us gamers together.
Oh, the Jared story.
Yeah.
Well, my friend Jared was playing This is the Hunter's Game. And in the Hunter's Game...
That I'm involved in.
That Amy's involved in. And our friend Jared had probably had one beer too many. And was sitting there, and we were talking about a game, and I had run this scenario in which they were after a were spider in the Virgin Islands. And because I called it the Virgin Sacrifice, and it was really funny to me. And so finally they tracked down they found out that the were spider was using prostitutes to bring her food. And Jared's character...
And Jared, which is a friend of ours, was the lead FBI guy in the story. And he said, we're going to find out some information. Who's the best people to find out? The prostitutes.
Had roughly interrogated the prostitute. And so he's wearing... he worked at the National Advocacy Center and had an FBI shirt on. And he said, and then I pistol whipped the whore.
Well, then,
really loud in the Mexican restaurant.
And then everybody, the whole restaurant went quiet. And they're just like, it's like you could hear the crickets chirping. And you're thinking,
you could hear the food cooking in the kitchen. Let's put it that way.
You're like, Jared.
Dude.
Lower the volume.
Later on, a couple months later, we were at Monterey's, the good one by USC. And there's Jared and... For whatever reason, that's the one time the restaurant got really quiet, is he was retelling this story, and he yells out, so when we pistol whip the whore...
Because they have no rights!
Yeah.
The whores have no rights, so I pistol whip the whore!
Yeah.
And she gave us all the information we needed.
That was good times there. That's good. We couldn't go in there for a couple weeks.
So, yeah.
I mean, he almost stood up and shouted it. I mean, it was like, and then I pistol whipped the whore. So, that's our second best story, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, I do have one kind of, now that you say that, I have one rated R kind of funny con story. In 2009, when I went to Gen Con, I met the guy. I think it was a guy. I met the person who owns Cosplay Deviants. Have you seen that website, Ruby? No. It's hardcore. So I met the owner of this thing, and he's got, there's all these, I shouldn't say he, because I'm not sure it's a he, but so the owner of Cosplay Deviants has all of these cosplay girls that are smoking hot at this booth at Gen Con 2009. And, you know, there's just a mob of guys wanting autographs, and they've got those books laid out, and you can pick out whatever picture you want, and they're like, wow, rated R, a lot of these. And so I'm talking to the guy, I'm talking to the owner of Cosplay Deviants, trying to get them to come to Scarab, to the first Scarab, you know. So I tell him, man, this is an amazing idea. You know, it looks like it's going to be hugely popular. And the only response that I got was, yeah, who knew? Gamers like tits. I'm like, enough said. Story over. So that was my experience with the Cosplay Deviants, folks. It was the whole audience cracked up when he said it. But yeah, it was pretty funny.
We'll see how much of that I could actually...
put on
the podcast. That might be a hidden trap, right, or something like that.
Easter egg.
The Easter egg. For those of you who stuck around for the 5 minutes of silence at the end of the thing, here's a story from Dell. No, I'm not going to put 5 minutes of silence, because... Although you never know. That might be just an extra link. Click here to hear
it. There you go.
Warning, this one is rated a...
Right. PG plus 13.
Oh my gosh. Because I was thinking about how you were talking about the anime track and
I sidetracked you
and
on
stuff
that
and all, and now I'm just thinking tits.
Exactly. Yeah, I know the feeling. Well, you know, too, what was funny was what even directed me over there were, I wonder the name of the two girls. There's two girls that dress up and one of them's name's Peppermint. I can't remember the name. They're crap. They do like 50 style like nose art type poses.
The pinup girls.
Yeah, pinup girls. So there's these two girls. I want to say they're out of Florida. Can't remember their name. So I'm walking. Randy Miller and I are walking down this aisle of Gen Con, and this girl is eating a banana. So I just went real loud. Stop, Randy. We must go this way. And so Randy's like, "What? I'm eating banana? Good looking girl eating banana in pinup outfit." So we go over and strike up a conversation with her. Her boyfriend shows up, or bodyguard, or whatever the guy was. He made us feel really uncomfortable. And so right next to them were the the cosplay deviants people. So. That's how I even got to the Cosplay Deviants booth was the pinup girl eating a banana.
It took a banana to get you to
it. It took a hot girl eating a banana.